Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio today is Rebecca Malope, who is also known as Sis Ribs and Dr. Malope. Few artists occupy the high order that Rebecca Malope enjoys in the South African music scene. She has released 35 chart-breaking albums, sold millions of copies, won countless music awards, has been honored by institutions of higher learning, and above all, respected by her peers and revered by legions of her fans. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you so much.
We're so glad that you could be with us today.
Amen.
Now, kicking straight in, much has been written about you that you are like the big sister whose wisdom and words of encouragement help fuel the ambitions of the next crop of gospel singers.
Yeah.
Can you please take us back to, well, back in time and share with us some of the memories from when you were growing up? What influenced you in those years?
You know, what influenced me most is that the background that I come from. I'm from a very poor background where at home, you know, there was always violence. You know, when you have a father that drinks alcohol and always come, there's always violence, alcohol abuse and all of that. And then as children, when my mother now left after surviving the Crocodile River, and then we were left alone because father had to go and be with somebody else, another woman, and have children with that woman. So we were left alone, and I grew up like, you know, when my mother left, I think I was about a year or somewhere there, and my sister had to take care of me. My sister was young as well, the time I'm sure around 8 years old, and my brother was around the 4 years old. Then we had to take care of ourselves.
These are babies looking after babies.
Babies, yes. So that environment and not having anybody to take care of us, growing up not being not able to go to school and get education, and begging food from neighbors, and eating on the street, you know, and then from dustbins and all of that. If you see a neighbor throwing some old bread, you rush there and open that bin and take that bread and run home, and because you need something to eat.
Survival skills.
Yes. So all the painful things that happened to us as children, at the age of 11, I had to go and work in a tobacco farm just to maintain our family. And then, you know, there was nothing much. But then what I told myself is that, you know, my mother, even though I don't remember very well, but I know my sister always said, you know, when Mama was getting the beatings, she always called the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. Help my children. Jesus, help me. Help my children. So that name, Jesus, made me to be able to endure and be able to say to myself, you know what? I want to be a better person.
So would you say it was the faith?
The faith.
That drove you?
Yes, that drove me. That I know God, I know that my mother's Jesus is watching upon us. And one day I'm going to change my mother's life. One day I'm going to change our family life and make this family a better family. And it happened.
Well, that is a big component to fill.
Really, amen.
Really, yes. Well done.
Thank you so much.
You have achieved several firsts in your name, chief of which is being the first black artist and woman to perform at the State Theatre in Pretoria.
Yes.
After the unbanning of apartheid.
Yeah.
And most recently, being the first South African artist to have a song included in the American Christian Church's hymn book.
Yes, Uthando Lwami. Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
It came as a shock, you know, when they would say, they said, and on the American hymn books, they chose one of my songs, Uthando Lwamguwe. I know a lot of Africans, they love that song. Some they sing them.
Can
and
you
they,
share yeah. a few more bars with
yeah,
us?
Yeah, it's like, Uthando Lwamguwe. Lothala lufeli asenzi konze yingosi. Oh, ba ba ba. I know they sing this song each and every church, the whole of Africa, even overseas.
It's and so that, powerful.
Yes, and then that is why the Americans, they chose to put it on their hymn book. On their hymn books. And I'm so excited and honored, all glory be to God, for that honor, that my song will be, if it's on the American hymn book, that means the world will be singing that song. They'll translate it in their own different languages. So I'm so excited. It's like a dream, you know. It's like being honored while you're still being recognized. Your music is being recognized while you're still alive. You know, it's a dream come true.
That's a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, it's just one of those achievements that I say, wow.
And whilst we're on the topic of achievements, can you share with us some of the other landmarks in your career and when you understood that singing gospel was going to be such a significant part of your destiny?
My grandfather was a bishop of Alliance Church. My mother come from a Christian background. But then the pain that I've been through, I always, when I write a song, I always wanted to take what is inside me through lyrics and melody. And then gospel, that's how gospel came along, because I could easily write and say, God, thank you, Lord, and all of that instead. So I wanted to say something to people that, look at me now. I have won the Shelter to Fame when nobody didn't even think that short girl, not because I sang better that night. There were contestants that sang better than me. But God chose me that night to win that competition. And that competition changed my life and my family's life.
So, and how old were you when you entered the competition?
I entered the Shelter to Fame first when I was 16. Then I failed, and I didn't win from the auditions. And then when I was 19, I went back again, and that's when I won. And that's when I knew that there is a God somewhere who listens to prayers.
So that was a life-changing, transforming experience.
It was... everything started from then. I was able now to buy some red meat and cook at home and buy chicken, you know, and eat nice for a change and buy rice and pumpkin and all of that. And my mother, then I was able to change my mother's life. And I bought her a house, and she stayed there peacefully, no violence anymore. My siblings, I had to get them together because now we were scattered. Somebody was that side and the other one that side. I had to bring them together, and we had a very good family, even though it was brief, 6 years, but it was very nice. It was, I mean, it was one of the achievements that I got, just to have that moment with my family where we can sit down in a table and enjoy meal together.
I am so touched listening and hearing you.
Amen.
To be able to do that for your family, to reunite. And
to God be the glory.
Even if it was in a condensed time, you managed to achieve so
to
much.
To achieve that, to have that family life, to say to mom, my mother, mom, I'm hungry, and he will give you, he will cook some food and bring food to you, and in the morning he will knock at your in your room and say, don't you want some tea, my daughter? I missed that as I was growing up. Hell, getting that, just even if it was a short period of time, to me it was a blessing.
And when you were talking, you mentioned that you almost when you're writing your songs and your lyrics, that it is a reflection of what's happening on the inside.
Yes.
Can you take us through some of that process?
You know, when I write a song, I will go back. Let's say I put myself in my mother's shoes. If I was my mother during that period of time of abuse, from my father, what would I say in a song? You know, what would I say to him? You know, I would say, we got married together. You told me you love me. You know, but how can you treat me like this? You know, if you don't love me, let me go. You know, don't kill me because my children need me. I would say those words. You know, if as a child, you know, neighbors, because we are children, neighbors, some neighbors will take an advantage of us. Rape as a child, all of that. The pain that I felt then, it's a pain that I still feel today. You know what I'm saying? What can I say in a song when it comes to it? Comes from deep inside. I try to release the pain because I grew up with that pain, and that pain made me very angry that every man that I see, they're the same. I don't even want to get married anymore because of the pain that I felt, you know, of such an adult taking an advantage of a young child because we are poor and hungry. You know what I'm saying? So I said to myself, let me say this through songs. You know what I'm saying? I tried to get married some stage, but because I cannot conceive or get children for my husband, then we ended up separated. Why am I God? I'm not God. It's only God that gives children. You know, maybe I was affected by the rape. Maybe I was affected by my situation. But you can't blame me for not conceiving children. So the marriage failed. You know what I'm saying? So I said to myself, God, the only lover of my life that will love me, no matter what, it's only God. So when I write a song, I just write through my experiences, and my experiences just like that.
So when we're listening to those songs, it's hearing the story of Rebecca Malope,
yes,
as the young child and her traumatic experiences,
yes,
that have brought her to become the woman you are today.
Yeah, there's a song, Kara, whereby we were going through this difficult thing with my husband. Then of having this baby, it's always a talk. The mother-in-law, the father-in-law, the sisters-in-law, they always say, we want a baby, we want a... I am not going... Then I wrote a song, Nkarabe Hlentate. You know what I'm saying? Like, answer me, God, I need a child. You know, but God knows his ways. He knew why he didn't give me a child, because my sister will leave me with children. Noltando, my daughter, is my sister's child. My sister passed on, then I took over the children. They are my children now.
And so family is always a strong and important part,
yes,
within your life.
It's just like that, yeah.
And I heard that there was a description in terms of your singing, and they said that you are a daughter of the soil who has made our days and nights brighter with her songs and continues to remind us that life's troubles and burdens can be a little lighter through faith, and
yes,
every note in your amazing songbook is a soothing balm for the soul.
Yes, yes, yes. Faith. You know, through faith you can achieve things that people think you will never achieve.
Those are very uplifting words, and
yes,
we'll take a short break.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to South Africa's Queen of Gospel, Dr. Rebecca Malope. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our first segment, Dr. Malope shared some of her personal moments growing up the abusive childhood that she survived, some of her traumatic experiences, how her focus after winning the Shell Road to Fame at the age of 19 transformed not just her life, but also the life of her family and set her on her path to future fame and fortune. Dr. Malope, music has always been a huge inspiration to people.
Yes.
And occasionally, it's been exploited to either influence political elements or
yes.
social agendas. How do you see the role of musicians in this instance?
People in the world or in the whole of Africa, in the world at large, they're going through different experiences of life. Some might say, I lost a job today, and I think I failed my wife, I failed my children, let me commit suicide. And there comes a Rebecca Saul saying, don't give up, God will see you through. And that person changes them, and that message changes someone's mind altogether. You know what I'm saying? Music can really change your life if you listen very carefully to the words and you listen to the right music.
It's so interesting what you're saying. Yesterday I heard on a radio broadcast driving, and they were talking about music therapy.
Yeah.
And utilizing music from an instrumental point of view as well as a lyrics point
yes.
of view to uplift
the spirits of people and the emotions, you know. Some, there can be a song that can say something and you think, did this person really know what I'm going through? Because what she's saying or he's saying is what I'm thinking about, is what I'm going through right now. And you find somebody changing altogether. I've been listening to people, a lot of people saying, pastors, you know, lot of people saying, you know, you changed my life. I said, no, I didn't change your life. God changed your life, you know, through my music. Church have been built all over around the world, in the whole of Africa. You'll find pastors saying, I was a sinner, but through your music, today I've got a big church. You know what I'm saying? I gave birth to a lot of, God gave birth through me, a lot of churches, a lot of pastors, and people were born again. A lot of people.
So do you see yourself almost as being a message of inspiration, of hope
yes.
for people to not look at the dark side,
yeah,
but to look at the lighter side?
Look at me. If I didn't look at the lighter side, I would have been a drug addict. I would have been a prostitute. Maybe I would be dead by now. Or I would be living on the street just abusing substance, drugs and all of that. But I looked at the brighter side, that if there's anyone at all that can change my situation, it's me walking and the person next to me who is God. And let me not listen to other people, what they say about me. Whether you're educated or you're not educated, it doesn't matter the background I come from, but I'm moving forward and I know where I'm going. And God wants me to change the situation around me.
And with your forward focus,
yes,
your music has ultimately reached people from all walks of life and all over the world. I read that some of your performance successes included singing at Nelson Mandela's presidential inauguration
yes.
in 1994, so 21 years
yes.
ago, performing with the National Symphony Orchestra
yes.
in 94, playing the Pretoria State Theatre in 95, packing out the Natal Playhouse Opera Theatre in
yes.
November 97, igniting the stage at the Gospel Festival in Washington, D.C. in 97,
yes.
performing in countries around the world like Israel, the UK, the
yes.
USA, as well as many of our home African countries like DRC and Zambia.
Yes, and I've got a lot of fans around the world. In France, there's an artist that loves Rebecca. That imitates Rebecca. Amazing. She's white. She's a French-speaking lady, a white woman, but imitating Rebecca Malope, which is good, and I love that. All over Africa, you find so many Rebeccas. artist that I have influenced. They loved me so much that they bought my music, rehearsed my voice, and some they definitely sound like me. Sometimes you might be even mistaken and think, that's Rebecca, and it's not Rebecca.
And what do you think about that? Do you feel it is a tribute to your work?
I think so. I feel it is a tribute to my work because some might think negatively, but I think it's a tribute because you won't forget Rebecca Malupi easily when you listen to people like that. Even if I pass on now, somebody else will come and sing and sound like me and say, oh man, that one reminds me of Rebecca Malupi. You know, it's a tribute. For me to be able to inspire so many, it's a blessing. Not so many artists can achieve that. You know, it's a blessing.
I think you're totally right there.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about your effects and being able to touch and inspire other people. Who would you say have been your sources of inspiration and influence on your music?
Most of the time I always said to myself, I don't want to lose. And I was inspired mostly by the Word of God, you know, the Word of God. You go through something, you read the Word, you get comfort. I was inspired by Nelson Mandela, you know what I'm saying. I know that as a child, I work at the farm as well, where in a slavery kind of a thing. I worked there. But Nelson Mandela inspired me to be able to look at that in a positive way that will make me to be able to do positive things in future and be able to tell our children tomorrow that this is the path that we walked, you know, and then that's why we achieved so much. I was inspired by my own music as well, you know, and other musicians as well. I was inspired by a lot of things. Maya Angelou, I was inspired by Oprah Winfrey. I was inspired by our own Felicia Mabuza Sattel. And there's a lot of people that have inspired, good women that made a mark in the history of humanity.
I think that that's a wonderful expression. Good woman that made a mark in the history of humanity.
Amen.
And up to this point, you've already achieved so much. Can you please share with us some of the goals that you want to accomplish in your career and what we can expect from you in the near future?
The best, if God still keep me and keep my voice, I want to help the needy. I do it with the little bit that I have. If God blesses me, if I can, I go out and bless other people. I know God will give me the strength to change the mindset of our young girls, to change the mindset of our young boys. Because you find that today our young girls, they do things. There's high rate of teenage pregnancy today because they think of the grant, they think of the, and that's no money, 200 and something, it's no money, and those children are suffering. And at the age of 20, you find a teenage girl has maybe 3-4 children, which is a sad situation. If I could, my next dream is to just change the mindset. If they can only focus on education, they can make their life better and be better and better than us.
Education is
the
pivotal
key to success. Oh, by the way, education plus God equals to success.
And I think on that note, we'll take a short break.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro-Soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You're listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV Channel 902. Today, we're talking to South Africa's Queen of Gospel, Dr. Rebecca Malope. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, Dr. Rebecca Malope spoke earnestly about having a forward focus, having a direction in terms of where you want to go, and not looking back, having your faith and pushing forwards to the possibilities and looking at every situation from the positive side as opposed to the negative side, because positivity is what grows and drives you forward. And she also made a fantastic remark in terms of the women who have influenced and affected her life, good women that have made a mark on humanity. Now, one of the questions that I ask all my guests who have been on this program and have been successful in their respective fields, whether it's in the music environment or political space or as sportswoman, is about the factors that contributed to their success. And some of them speak about their parents, others about hard work. Can you please tell us, in your opinion, what have been the key drivers to your success?
It's being afraid to go back to my past. It's being afraid to not have a home to sleep. It's being afraid to go back and sleep under the bridge. It's being afraid. I didn't want to go back there. I didn't want my family to go through that as well. Or even if God blesses me with kids and stuff, I didn't want them to experience that. So that fear pushed me to be successful, pushed me to achieve even more, pushed me to be, if I've got a car, I need to pay my installment off. If I've got a bond, my house, I need to pay it off. If I've got, pushed me not to love material things, pushed me not to love things that are in the world. That fear made me to want to achieve and secure my achievement for as long as I live. That is why I had to save and buy properties and make sure that each and every property that I have, it's paid off.
And so fear has driven you forward.
Fear pushed me forward. Fear makes you work harder and want to achieve more and want to safeguard all your achievement. You don't want to lose your house and go back to the street. You don't want to lose your car and go back to the taxi rank. You don't want to lose your t-shirt. You don't want to lose your shoe. Fear makes you want to work harder and harder and harder and listen to good advices, not negative advices, and make you don't want to mix with wrong friends. We want to mix with positive people, successful people that can push your limits as well, and for you to be successful as well,
pushing you in the right direction
and in the right direction. Because once you get in the in our industry, once you get that little money, you find you get a lot of friends, negative friends, good and negative, but most of the time you find negative friends, you know. So it made me not to want those friends. My friend is me, my children, my family. Those are my friends, but not even a family member. If you're negative, I get rid of you because I don't want to be in that situation. So fear made me even more stronger that I don't want to lose anything.
Well, thank you for sharing that powerful perspective. Now, during the conversation, we've spoken a little bit about the work that you've been doing in terms of helping develop women on their roads to success, on their achievements. And with our show, Womanity, Woman in Unity, it is all about gender equality, which has become more and more of a global focus. But one of the things that I've found in the conversations that I've had with people is that we need to drive it from the top down. What I mean by that is about looking at female leadership, mm-hmm. because it's important for the future of women, yes, not just in South Africa, but in the continent at large. Mm-hmm. How do you see female leadership?
Female leadership, it's a good thing. You know, you can lead, you can be a leader as a female anywhere, at your workplace, on the government side, in your home. You, by standing up and make sure what you do happens, and stand up and say, I'm going to raise this family the right way as a leader. I'm going to work my staff, I'm going to treat them like that. I'm going to be a good example as a leader. I'm going to change situations as a woman and a leader. Not because you want to, I'm in a position of some sort, I'm a woman, then I'm going to bring in my favorites, I don't like that one, I'm going to... No, you've got to be a leader. A woman leader, it's good because a woman give back to everybody, you know. And that's the right person to lead, only in a positive way.
But you have to be leading by example in terms of everything that you do.
Of course, you've got to lead by example, because if you don't lead by example, the whole nation will go astray. They'll be lost. You've got to lead by example.
And one of the things that I heard recently, you were talking about the power of women on giving birth to generations, was that in effect, the future of our world is in the hands of women.
Of a woman.
Because how they nurture and educate the children that they bring up.
And that's why I said, if in future, I wish I could change the mindset of our young girls. Don't have babies because of the grant. Don't have babies because you love that boyfriend and you want to get hold of that boyfriend. Don't get pregnant because you said, I'm going to show him who I am. Those children, we're crying. Our children, our kids today, they don't have direction. We're crying that our children are taking, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol abuse, because they don't have direction. You give birth as a child, that child won't have direction. Then what kind of a future generation are we going to expect? So we need to change the mindset so that they can be leaders of tomorrow, and positive leaders of tomorrow, educated.
I think the biggest message that I've got through from you today is about having the faith, having the belief also in yourself.
Yes.
Having that focus, yes, and seeing the positive in everything to bring you up and move you ahead and inspire.
Yes.
And I have to say that you've already elaborated on many of your experiences that you encountered, but what I found was so inspiring when I was preparing for the show and reading about your life's journey, how you began as a little girl in a rural township called Lekazi near the Kruger National Park. But when you did go to school, you went on an empty stomach, without shoes.
Without shoes. Without uniform.
That you didn't finish school.
I didn't say, we used to call, I stopped, I ended at grade 4, it's standard 2 that time. Is it standard 2? But what could I do? Because I didn't have books. I had to steal money from, you know, I had a teacher that always gave me some sweets to sell at school, and then she will leave that money with me, you know, the 5 cent, 10 cent, and then she will take that money every Fridays. And when I go home, there's no bread, there's no food at all, and I'm hungry. I don't even have exercises, books to write on at school. Then I will take still from that money and buy some exercise books, maybe 2, and buy bread. And I know maybe I will cover it when I sell more sweets and stuff. At the end of the day, that money will be gone. because I use it at home as well. I can't keep money while my stomach is empty, you know. And then that day, the teacher wanted her money so bad. Like, Malope, you bring my money back. I'm sorry, ma'am. I left it at home. Okay, you bring it tomorrow. Okay, ma'am. Tomorrow I come. There's no money. Malope, I want my money back. Okay, ma'am, I'll bring it. If you don't bring it tomorrow, you'll see what I will do to you. Since then, I never went back to school. Until today. Since then, I never went back to school until today.
But look at what you've achieved.
Yeah.
I think that's incredibly important.
It's like a joke. It's like a joke today. So, by the way, I had to leave school because I stole money from my teacher. But for good thing, for food and exercise.
But when you have the context, you really have to take the context into account. But ultimately, your resilience and your determination has become, let's say, a sweet South African fairy tale that says, I can do everything I set my mind to.
Amen.
So what I'd like in closing the discussion today, if you could please use this platform to send a message of hope to all those women in Africa that due to circumstances, gender equality might not be the first on their agenda, but rather putting food onto the table for their children and themselves is a more pressurizing reality.
You know what I would say to them? You know, today we as women, it's not like before where a woman wouldn't be able to start something, like maybe you sell your tomatoes, your onions somewhere in your corner or in the front gate of your house, you know, just to bring food in your table. It's not like before where we couldn't do that. You know, you can try something. You know, I know it's difficult. Someone would say, I don't even have that money, that 5 rand to buy those tomatoes to sell. But let's help each other. Maybe your next door neighbor maybe is able to do something. Let's come together as African, as women, and help each other. If that next door neighbor is really struggling that much and I've got some bread, why can't we help each other here? We need to help each other in order for us to grow. And if you see that woman, that this woman is passionate to survive, this woman wants to give to provide for his family, why can't we help? Maybe let me give her that 5 rand, buy a box of tomatoes, put it at your gate, somebody will come and buy, and there'll be something. Let's make a change amongst them. God wants us, when he blesses us, to bless other people. Let's help each other. Not all of us can, but some of us can. So let's help each other here and be one in the eyes of God. Because in the eyes of God, there's no VIP, remember? There's no middle class. We're all the same. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you come from a good background or a bad background, through the eyes of God, we are one. We are the same. Doesn't matter whether you live in a double store or in a shack, or you're driving a Porsche car, or that one is driving a Toyota, or in a taxi, we just the same in the eyes of God. So let's come together as Africans, as good women of God, and help each other. Help thy neighbor. Let's love thy neighbor as we love ourselves.
Thank you for that important message.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your personal experiences and also moving towards the future. We'd love to have you here again.
Amen.
To talk about those developments.
I thank you so much for inviting me. I'd love to come back again. Yeah. Thank you so much. God bless.
We have been talking to Dr. Rebecca Molepe on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. We end today's show highlighting one of the developments underway at the African Development Bank, namely the Agricultural Fast Track Fund. Africa is one of the world's most fertile agricultural regions, yet in any given year we import some $25 billion US in food, including staples like rice. It's also true that while African women grow around 80% of Africa's food, they are not participating in the higher value end of agriculture, like food processing or growing higher value fruits and vegetables, because they often lack access to credit, fertilizer, modern tools, and better seeds. The funds from the African Development Bank Agricultural Fast Track help development costs. To date, the fund is working in 6 countries: Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, Tanzania, and Mozambique. The Agricultural Fast Track Fund pays special attention to women in the programs it selects. It makes gender impact a mandatory criteria of the application process. And gender impact could mean anything from making sure women get training on growing organic fruits and vegetables to ensuring that women get jobs in expanded milk production. To learn more or to get involved, visit the Agricultural Fast Track Fund website at www.aftfund.org. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity. Tune into the show next week when we speak to award-winning South African actress Moshidi Moshekwa.